your throne surround. Lord, please deserve a mansion room. One more time, singing mansion robe and a crown. There I know it be peace and love will always abound. Let me hear your throne surround. Lord, please reserve
my mansion,
mansion rule and crown.
And all of God's people can say amen. We do want that mansion robe and a crown, right? And heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people, and we thank God that we have yet another opportunity to prepare ourselves that we might hear him say, well done, my good, my faithful servant. We're thankful for each person that has come to be a part of the worship this morning. We want to thank each of those brothers who have taken an active part in leading us in our praise giving this morning. I believe that that is correct, brother. We are certainly here, and we are striving to see God's face in peace. Amen? Amen. Mansion robe and a crown, reserved. But we got to get ready right here. We're thankful for those of you who are visiting among us, especially. We thank you, and our elders will acknowledge you at the end of the worship. For those who have come our way this morning by television, we're certainly, again, appreciative that you chose to stop the dial as you are scanning through and to stay with us for just a few moments. And we pray something that is said this morning will encourage you to be one with us in the holy faith. We're mindful of those who are out in the city of San Antonio this morning. I know you look around and you see a number of our brothers from the preacher's class are missing, and they have gone up to work with and to support and encourage the effort in San Antonio by going out, knocking doors and handing out literature, having Bible studies, encouraging people to be obedient to the word. Isn't that good when you can send off a whole group of brothers and sisters, their families going with them, and they're dedicated to trying to bring one more soul to the house of God? Now, it's interesting. I think we do have a little bit of video working on this morning. As you know, a couple of weeks ago, we had a storm that came through. And it's amazing how a little bit of a lightning thunderstorm, it depends on where it hits, it can do some serious disruption. But the light may be a little bit dim, and you may have to pull out your songbooks or pull better those songs from your heart. Is that all right? As we sing and praise God this morning. The scripture that was read comes from the book of Ezekiel. So if you would grab your Bibles and open up to the book of Ezekiel, the verse verse number 30 in chapter 22. Ezekiel, excuse me, chapter 22 and verse number 30. And we'll read it again for emphasis sake. The Bible says, "And I sought a man, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, and I found none." The lesson is entitled, for those of you who write those things down, "Stand in the Gap." Stand in the gap. Over the last several opportunities that I've had to share the word of God with the congregation, I've been trying to reiterate and create the concept and help us to understand that all of us are soldiers in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. We are soldiers in the Lord's army. I know it's not VBS, but it wouldn't be bad if we sang that song. You know, we are soldiers in the army of the Lord. And since we are a part of the soldiers for God, that we are part of Yahweh's host, he is the host leader, God's people are in fact to endure hardship as soldiers. Did you know that? All right, wait a minute. Somebody didn't bring their amen this morning. All right. So just stay with us as we go through this study this morning. We want to make sure that we understand the role that we are to provide as saints in the kingdom of God. And by looking at the church, we're going to see it as we look a little bit at God's people under the old law. God's people in the city of Jerusalem had a wall that surrounded the city. And that wall that surrounded the city, like many things, like everything, as a matter of fact, sooner or later, it requires repair. Sometimes the wall would have cracks in it. It developed cracks, and the wall would have to be re-tempered with mortar. And if they didn't get a permanent fix there, there were actually gaps or holes in the wall. And if there's a hole in the wall, and the wall is your protective structure, and you didn't get it repaired and fixed in time, and the enemy came up on you, and there's a gap there in the hole, then you need somebody. You need some man. You need somebody that's going to stand in the gap. And when you stand in the gap, my brother, when you stand in the gap, my sister, that means that the wall is protecting people from all over in all of the other areas. But right here at this point, where there's an entrance into the house of God for the enemy to come in, I'm going to stand in the gap. Do we have anybody that's going to stand in the gap this morning? We want soldiers in the Lord's army to stand in the gap. Stand in the gap for the people of God. So that is the picture, the backdrop of what is taking place in the mindset of those who are going to be hearing Ezekiel's message. They know what the role of a soldier is when it comes to standing in the gap. And what God says in Ezekiel chapter 22 and in verse number 30, as we're going through, I sought a man among them. So sisters, listen, some of y'all, I know some of y'all seeking a man too. Is that right? Some of the sisters say, like, yeah, I'm looking for a man. It wasn't just the Marines that were looking for a good man. God's been looking for men that are going to stand up and be men. Men who are going to stand and defend the people of God. Men who are going to stand and protect the people of God. And what God says in Ezekiel chapter 22, I sought for a man, I looked for a man, that I should not destroy the city, but I found none. And question is, who will stand in the gap for God today? Who will stand in the gap? You remember that Abraham had a discussion with God when it came to the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham started reasoning with God. Hold on, God. You're not going to destroy the whole city because there are going to be maybe 50 righteous people there. And God said, no, okay, if there are 50, I won't destroy it. Wait a minute. What if there's five less than the 50? And he negotiated all the way down to 10. When you get to 10, he thinks, okay, all right, I got it now. There ought to be at least 10 righteous in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And God said, you know what? If there are 10 righteous, I won't destroy the city. But there were none. There were not 10, rather, to stand in the gap. And we want to know among us who are going to be the people of God who will stand in the gap, who are going to preserve life among us as members of the family of God. We are soldiers in the Lord's army. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 3. I'll give you time to turn there now. It's hard to be seeing pages rustling. Yeah, I'll check it and make sure that I'm not making up anything. All right? In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 3, the Bible says, thou therefore, my son, or thou therefore endure hardness as a, what kind of soldier? A good soldier of Jesus Christ. Endure hardness as a good soldier for Jesus Christ. You know, we are to be good soldiers in the kingdom of God. Are we good soldiers in the kingdom of God? That means soldiers are folk who know their business and they do what they're supposed to do. They cover the things that need to be covered as soldiers in the Lord's army. Anybody been in the military around here? I was not in the military. In 1972, I graduated from high school, and coincidentally, that was the same year that they canceled the draft. And I said, that's a blessing from God. I wasn't even a member of the church, but I knew that was a blessing from God. So I did not sign up for the military after it was canceled for the draft. But we used to have a drill team at school. You know drill teams? And they had these ROTC, Reserve Officer Training Groups, and those folk would be out there drilling and stuff, and one of the guys that was on the drill team just happened to be one of the guys that lived in my neighborhood. And boy, those drill teams, have you seen them? They're so sharp. I don't know all of those things that they would be calling out, but they would start off marching, and they'd be out there marching, and they'd like left face, and it's like, oh, man, and they looking good, and it's right face, and they turn to the right face, and then they say about face, and then they spin around, and they have the guns with them and all of this, and they would be doing stuff, presenting arms, you know, for your, some of y'all would go like, he ain't never been in the army. But they looked good, and they were drilling, and they were sharp, and they made their cuts. And then there was all of a sudden, the person that was calling out the cadence or whatever it is that they call out, one of the soldiers, he thought he was so good, he was so sharp, and he said, all right, are you that good? He said, yes, sir, and he stepped out. And he says, all right, he was going to put him through the paces. And he did the left face and the right face, and he did the bout face and the present arms and all of that and everything. And then the man said, jump up, and he jumped up. And he said, who told you to come down? And he said, I have not yet learned how to defy gravity, sir. But he looked good, and he was moving and short, you know, and they were drilling. Why? Because they're getting ready. They're going through the steps. Why? Because they're preparing themselves to be soldiers. And a good soldier endures hardness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 3. In verse number 4, the Bible says, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 4, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has called him or chosen him to be a soldier. Listen, brothers, sisters, listen. If we're going to be good soldiers for Jesus Christ, then we cannot get entangled in this life. There are so many things that call to us in this life. And if we let them, they will get us all bogged down where we can't be a good soldier for Jesus Christ. Have we lived long enough to learn what's truly important in life? What is truly important in this life? You know, the world is striving after goods and services and riches and fame and all of that kind of stuff. But that's not the kind of stuff that the child of God is focusing upon. We're focusing upon making heaven our home, amen? Amen. That we want to hear God say, well done, my good and faithful servant. And it's important that we keep our eyes focused squarely on the goal, that we might be pleasing to him who has called us, pleasing to him who has chosen us, that we might be a soldier in the Lord's army. We need a man. We need a woman. We need somebody that's going to stand in the gap for God. Stand in the gap, my brother. All right, you know, I try to get you to help me. So turn to the people that are around you, front, back, side, and somebody say to somebody, stand in the gap. Stand in the gap. Stand in the gap for God. We're going to stand up for God, and we're not going to allow the affairs of this life to get us all entangled. In Mark's gospel, the 10th chapter, in verse number 24, the Bible says, and the disciples were astonished at his word. But Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? Is our trust in our bank account this morning? God said that ain't not where it's supposed to be. Don't put our trust in our bank account. Lord, have mercy. Black Monday came many years ago. I had some money. I thought a little bit of money. Black Monday came, and it said, you ain't got as much money as you thought you had. Wipe stuff out. I tell you, the money that we have in the bank, listen, it doesn't take much for somebody to steal your identity. They're telling me now somebody's identity is being stolen every few seconds. And you have a whole problem. Every 2 seconds, that's what I heard, brother. Every 2 seconds, somebody's identity is being stolen. Now, I tell you, it's like, it might be okay if our identity is so bad that when they steal it, they want to give it back. Like, no, ooh, no, not him. Not her. But don't trust in riches is what God, don't trust in the money in the bank. Don't trust in the clothes on the back. Don't trust in the house that we've got that God has blessed us with to live in. Don't trust in the car that we drive. Don't trust in things. The warrior, the man, the woman that's going to stand in the gap for God cannot get entangled, cannot get caught up with the affairs of this life. How hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. We have to have the attitude of a soldier, the attitude of a servant. In 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse number 9, I like when he was being called and he answered, who is that was calling? It was the God of heaven that was calling. And then when he understood that, he said, speak, Lord. Is that what we say? Speak, Lord. For thy servant heareth. I'm listening to you, God. God, just tell me what you want me to do. That's like when that soldier was doing the drilling. He was listening to what it was that he was being told to do. And you know what? He did it. And even though he couldn't defy gravity, when he was told to jump, what did he do? Like soldiers do. We do what soldiers do. We do what soldiers are commanded to do. Two sermons ago, I preached from the book of Exodus, chapter 32 and verse number 26. And I asked the question, who is on the Lord's side? Why? Soldiers are on the Lord's side. In Jeremiah chapter 12, I took the last lesson from it. Jeremiah chapter 12 and verse number 5. And that scripture says, if thou hast run with the footmen and they have wearied thee, how canst thou contend with the horses? And that was the idea of run with the horses. We're not worried about soldiers who are on the ground with us. We can handle that. Give us the ones that are riding up on horses. The latter part of Jeremiah chapter 12 and verse number 5 says, and if in the land of peace, wherein thou trustest, they weary thee, then how will thou do in the swelling of the Jordan? God asked the people of God through the prophet Jeremiah. He says, listen, if you're having a hard time dealing with the foot soldiers in the land of peace where you are, if you are out in the wilderness and in the wild, where there are wild animals roaming around, where there's dirt, where there's heat, where you got to go and find some water, how are you going to deal with the swelling of the Jordan? You know what? We need to do some drilling, brothers. We need to prepare ourselves. I'm not saying to go and take up arms. No, not at all. What I'm saying is that we've got to focus on the idea that we are soldiers in the Lord's army and that we work for God and that we have a tremendous responsibility to do all of the work that God has called for us to do. Is that all right? When we come to praise God, I mean, I think we have some precedence. The psalmist says, let everything that hath, you heard that too? Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. So the song leader doesn't have to ask us to sing, brother. We come to the house of God, oh, I'm going to sing my song. That's what Isaiah said. I'm going to sing my song. And I'm going to sing my song too, brother. I know sometimes folk think that it's about how harmonious and melodious your voice sounds. And that's good when it works like that, ain't it, brother? We were sitting over here. I said that when I sit over here, you know, and I just happen to be sitting in front of these brethren right over here, that we really sound good. But I'm going to sing my song. I'm going to make a joyful noise to the Lord. The psalmist says in Psalm 13 and verse number 6, I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Has God been good to you? Has God been good to you? If God has been good to you, my brother, God has been good to you, my sister, even if you've gone through some of those valleys that were talked about, even though you've hit some of those low spots that Brother Philip mentioned in his prayer, do you know what? God is still good. So I'm going to sing praises to the great God of heaven because God has been good to me. And brother, we need a man, we need a woman to stand in the gaps when we're singing. Yes, sir, making a joyful noise unto the Lord. Don't let anybody keep you from lifting up your voice, praising God. And somebody say, well, yeah, everybody, not, oh, no, no, no. Don't let everybody or anybody keep you from singing your song. Praising God through song. Listen, if we are going to lift up our voices in praise and thanksgiving to God, it matters what God has done for us. There's a song in your songbook, hymn number 225. When I say that now, Brother Barry over here getting nervous. It's like, oh, Lord. He's not going to say, get your songbook. Open it to page 225, hymn number 225. But listen to the words. See, we got to understand what the words mean. It's not just about sounding good. But brother, when you get over songs like this, it says, he's a wonderful Savior to me. You know, it says, I was lost in sin, but Jesus rescued me. Isn't that a beautiful thought? I was lost in sin, and Jesus rescued me. Oh, he's a wonderful Savior to me. When we hear that and we understand that, we got to sing praises to the great God of heaven. All right, y'all cut the time out because this don't count on what I'm preaching. Brother, you got that song? You know that song, hymn number 225? Let's do it, brother. Let's go ahead.
I was lost in sin, but Jesus rescued me. He's a wonderful Savior to me.
So wonderful.
I was bound by fear, but Jesus set me free. He's a wonderful Savior to me.
So wonderful.
Oh, he's a wonderful Savior to me.
So wonderful.
He's a wonderful Savior to me.
Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord.
Sin, but Jesus took me in. He's a wonderful Savior.
Keep going.
Dearer grows the love of Jesus day by day. He's a wonderful Savior to me.
So wonderful.
Sweeter is his prayers while pressing on my way. He's a wonderful Savior to me.
So wonderful.
Oh, he's a wonderful Savior to me.
So wonderful.
He's a wonderful Savior to me.
So wonderful.
I was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. He's a wonderful Savior to me. He's a friend so true, so patient and so kind. He's a wonderful Savior to me.
So wonderful.
Everything I need in him I always find. He's a wonderful Savior to me. Oh, he's a wonderful Savior to me.
So wonderful.
He's a wonderful for Savior to me.
So wonderful.
I was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. He's a wonderful Savior to me.
Amen, amen. Let all of God's people say amen. God has been good to us. Man, do you know God has been better to us than we deserve? So when we come to the house of praise, brother, oh, Lord, I come with a song on my heart. I want to praise God through song. I want to praise God because he's been blessing me more than I know that I deserve. And when you come to the house of God, brother, listen, sister, when we come, we want folk to come in and know that we are praising God. I work with a number of folk on my secular job, and we were riding around. We went to another one of those team lunches. And we had a team lunch, and the guy that was driving, he said, yeah, he says, the group, the singing group at our church is like, we're more like a rock band. We are rock band. We got a rock band at church. And one of the ladies that was in the car, she said, well, you know what? At our church on last Sunday, we had an opera singer that came to church. So like rock band and opera singer. I said, we sing a cappella. That means in the manner of the church. That's how God's people do it. A cappella, let everything that hath breath stand in the gaps. Stand in the gaps singing for God. As the brother said, listen, and it's true. There's good. We do a good job. There's better. Yes, there's a better. And there's best. And everybody, everybody, when you come to the house of God, lift your voice, stand in the gaps, and sing praises. Is that all right? To sing praises to the great God of heaven. Stand in the gaps. Luke, the 14th chapter. That's still in the Bible. In verse number 23. Luke chapter 14 and verse number 23. Stand in the gaps, my brother. Stand in the gaps. You know, when we come to the house of God, don't ever get comfortable. As long as there's room on the row where you're sitting for one more person, you know, we're not done yet. In Luke chapter 14 and verse number 23, the Bible says, and the Lord said unto the servant, is that in your Bible? He says, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house might be filled. Oh, isn't that beautiful that God has given us marching orders? I've still got room in God's house and I can fill the gaps in the house of God. Man, I tell you, God has blessed us so richly. And he says, compel them to come in. And that's not the idea that we're going to go out and we're going to say, oh yeah, you're going to church today, brother. Not that we're going to go out and we're going to force folk to come in. But have you ever had a situation where somebody just wouldn't let you give them no for an answer? You know, sometimes you got to act like little children. I messed that up on purpose. My wife say folk don't know when I'm using bad grammar on purpose, so I better start explaining. Little children. Okay, little children. Okay, see, I can say children, okay? But I mess up grammar sometimes for effect. So anytime the brother mess up, you go like, oh, he was doing that for effect, y'all. But you know how little children are? Have you ever seen little kids when they want something? Mama, can I have a cookie? No, boy, go sit down. When you say no, that's it, right? You're like, Mama, it's a whole bunch of cookies in there. Can I have just one cookie? I told you, no, you cannot have a cookie. Go sit down. Daddy. Mama say, I can't have a cookie, but you let me have a cookie the last time. Can I have a cookie? What would your mama say? You better go back and ask your mama. Mama, Daddy say, I could come back and ask you if I could have a cookie. Boy, go get that cookie. You know what? He compelled you to get him a cookie. Right? What I'm saying, God says, go out into the highways and the hedges. Compel them to come in that my house might be filled. And brother, listen, we want to take the good news of Christ to the entire world. And we have that responsibility. But you know, when we come in here sometimes, is there anybody here? Anybody here this morning? Is there a room for one more person on your row? Raise your hand if there's room for one more person on your row. Look at that. Wow, all over. There's room. There's room in this house. And I know we have others that are out. But I've heard brothers come in sometime. And I've heard song leaders say, you know, can you fill in down toward the front? It'll improve our singing. There are gaps on the seat. How many times would anybody ever have to ask that? Why? We don't have to ask that but one time. Why? Because we stand in the gaps. If there's room, and it makes it easier for the brothers to serve and to take care of all of those things. I mean, you know what? We would stand in the gaps. Stand in the gap. Move down. Oh, no, 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 I got my seat. I know I got my seat. I put my name on. No, 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 listen. Mm-mm. You know, when those guys were marching and the whole drill team was marching, you know what they did? They said something like close ranks. Is that a military term, y'all? They ain't. They don't tell them to close the ranks when they are marching along and they got to keep them together. That is right. Close the ranks. Yo, get everybody closer together. Sit close together. Now, when I was a kid growing up, there were six of us in the household at the same time, and we had a little car. It was a little station wagon, but we were getting there, and they say, y'all better sit like family. And we got close together. You know, and my question is, you know, and I saw Brother Gary, and I don't presume to be a mind reader, but a couple of Sunday nights ago, and we had a guest speaker, and Brother Gary said, you know, I want to say something. I want to ask something. But he said, I better not do it. And the thought was, I think he wanted people to close the ranks. If there is a seat that is empty on the row in front of you right now, we're talking about in the land of peace, in the land of air conditioning and cushioning seats. We're talking about drilling and doing stuff for the Lord. You know what? Would we close ranks even this morning? Is there anybody that would fill in a row in front of? Would anybody do that this morning? Well, how come you're still sitting? Stand in the gaps. Stand in the gaps. Stand in the gaps. If in the land of peace, they have wearied thee. What will we do? What will we do? Thank you, sister. Thank you. She's going to come down. She's standing in the gap. She's going to come down. She's going to fill in a row. Help fill in a row. Listen, this is just a thought process that we're going through. We need men and women that are going to stand in the gaps for God. And listen, brother, nobody should ever have to ask that more than one time. When we understand, does that make sense? Does that make sense? You know what? Now I'm gonna tell you something. That young man that lived on the street where I lived, that was in the drill team, and I saw him do it. He was one of the sharpest soldiers in the drill team. And they went through that little drill, and they did stuff like throwing the guns and catching the guns and all that kind of stuff. It's like, man, it almost made you want to be in the ROTC. But I want to tell you something. Not one time did he ever get to the point where he was able to defy gravity. Every time he got to that part where he told him to jump up, he still came down. Every single time. There are some things that are beyond us. Does that make sense? But brother, listen, there's nothing that's too hard for God. And we are the army of the Lord. And we're to stand in the gaps. And God is looking for us. He's looking for men and women that will stand in the gaps. There's still room. There are still gaps. And we want to fill those gaps. This is a spiritual house that I'm talking about. It's a house that's not made with hands. We're talking about a house that's made up of living stones. Do you understand? Do we all know and understand and appreciate that one day, that the last stone will be added to the building of God? And when that last stone is added to the building of God, then the church has added the last, and the gap has been completely filled. I just got to believe by faith that that's when Jesus is going to come. Everybody that needs to be in the family of God will have been added to the family of God when Jesus comes. Did you know that? And judgment is going to begin at the house of God. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 5, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now it's time for me to go ahead and end. I guess I can't use the time that I had last time when I finished too early. Then, you know, it's not cumulative. You can't add on like that. I want you to open your Bibles, if you will, Ezekiel chapter 13 and verse number 5. Ezekiel chapter 13 and verse number 5. Because God had challenged the preachers with the responsibility of getting God's people ready. You know what? And preachers have to preach what's in the book. If we're going to be okay with God with regard to that preaching. Does that make sense? In Ezekiel chapter 13, is it still in the Bible? Yes, notice what it says in verse number 5. God's complaint to his preachers, he said at this point, ye have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in battle in the day of the Lord. He said, you haven't got God's people ready. You haven't got God's people ready. Look, if we're going to be soldiers, everything can't be easy. Everything can't be comfortable if we're going to be soldiers. No, soldiers have to go through some stuff. Soldiers have to prepare and train and drill. And then when the battle comes, soldiers will stand in the gap. Stand in the gap for the people of God. And what God says, listen, you're going around and you're preaching and talking about peace when there is no peace. You got to get God's people ready for battle. The battle is coming and we got to get ready. No, I'm not talking about putting on military dress and putting on combat boots and carrying guns and all of that. No, no. I'm talking about doing the work that God has called for us to do. Come to the house of God. Boy, I'm gonna praise God this Lord's Day. I'm going to praise God even before I get to the house of God. I'm going to sing my song when I come to the house of God. I'm going to give like God has blessed me. You know, go through all of the avenues of worship. You know, and I'm going to fill in the gaps in the house of God. Luke 14, 23. I'm going to go out into the highways and the byways, and I'm going to make it my mission that I'm going to sit somebody on the seat in my row in the house of God if I got a row. And you know what? If I got to come back and say, hey, look, brother, can you come sit on my row? You know, we're going to fill the gaps up over here. All right, does that make sense? And there's one more living stone that can be added to the church today. Oh, in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, when you go down through verses 1 through 4, it talks about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know what Paul says? He says, I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. He says how that Jesus died for our sins according to the scripture. We're delivering first principles here. Brother Gary's done a very good job in dealing with the defense of the gospel. You know, I'm delivering, first of all, that which I also received, that Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he arose again the third day. Is that in the Bible still? According to the scriptures. That is the basic elemental gospel of Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 6 and verses 1 through 4 over there, when Paul starts talking to the members of the church over there, some folks say, well, you know, God's ain't got there's no sin that God's grace ain't got covered. And Paul asks the question, shall we continue in sin? It's like, if we are members of the family of God, listen, we've been called away from sin. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? It's time for us to lay that sin burden down. As members of the family of God, in Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 27, for as many of you as have been baptized, where? Into Christ, have done what? Have put on Christ. And that adds you into the family of God. You become a living stone in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. In Matthew's gospel, the 16th chapter, we find Jesus is having a discussion with Peter. And he says to Peter, he says, upon this rock, I will build. Is that what it says? It's still in the Bible? I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against. That's why we invite everybody to be a part of the one family of God. All of God's people lived in that city the city of Jerusalem in this case, and they were inside the walls. And if there was a gap, then it took men to stand. And sisters, y'all can be soldiers too. You know what I'm saying? Some suits, ain't nobody coming through this gap. There was a sister that came down and filled up the gap over there. You know what? Listen. We want to stand in the gaps for God. And maybe there's just one person. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, if you will repent of sins, making up your mind you want to live for him, confess Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, then you're doing what Paul says, that was the first thing that he also received. And he was baptized into the body of Christ for the remission of sins. Or if you need to repent of sins, if you need prayer, just make it known as together we stand and sing the song that has been selected.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. You see on the portals, he's waiting and watching, watching for you. And for me, come home, come home. You are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling. Jesus is pleading, pleading for you and for me. Why should we linger and heed not his mercies? Mercies for you and for me.